You may have heard people say that they are devout Catholics, but also pro-choice. They may say that they personally believe that abortion is wrong, but do not feel that they can impose their religious beliefs on others. They may even state that abortion is really a matter of an individual's conscience. This line of reasoning often comes from Catholic politicians, but you hear it from everyday Catholics as well. Such people, and I think this is a sizable percentage of them, may actually disagree with the Church's teaching altogether. So what of it? Can you be both Catholic and pro-choice? I'm Dr. David Heiduk, and here's my take.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds, seeking the moral high ground for 20 years. Pro-life, pro-family, and Catholic values have guided us to the top.
And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast and give us a 5-star rating. So back to the topic. Can a person be both Catholic and pro-choice? Well, it depends on what you mean by being Catholic and what you mean by pro-choice, that is, what choice you are pro. First, let's start with the label pro-choice. Pro-choice has become the preferred term of those who support abortion rights. They don't want to call themselves pro-abortion, even though they are clearly pro-somebody's abortion, because they are pro-somebody's right to have an abortion. So instead, they choose the euphemistic label pro-choice, which of course says little. Pro-choice of what? There are no choices without objects of choices, and a choice always means choosing between such objects. So what is the choice they are referring to by pro-choice? To have or not to have an abortion. But what is abortion? Some say the termination of a pregnancy. So how does one accomplish that? By removing the product of conception. Which is? You see what's going on here. It's one euphemism after another. No mother has ever said, "My product of conception kicked me." And herein lies the real issue. Abortion kills a human being at the earliest stages of his or her development, and sometimes even at the later stages of his or her prenatal development. So to call yourself pro-choice means that you think women should be able to choose to kill human beings at the beginning of their lives, and that medical professionals should help them by doing the killing. Even more than this, you think that this killing should be legally protected and promoted as a fundamental human right, and be as widely available and accessible as possible. This is the definition of what it means to be pro-choice we will be working with in this podcast. Now, the Catholic Church has a definite opinion about these things. The Church teaches that human life must be respected and protected absolutely from the moment of conception. From the first moment of his existence, a human being must be recognized as having the rights of a person, among which is the inviolable right of every innocent being to life. The Church also states that it must be clearly understood that whatever may be laid down by civil law, man can never obey a law which is in itself immoral, and such is the case of a law which would admit in principle the licentiousness of abortion, nor can he take part in a propaganda campaign in favor of such a law or vote for it. Moreover, he may not collaborate in its application. Neither can anyone hide behind the support of abortion rights in the name of respecting the beliefs of others. As St. John Paul II made clear, the legal toleration of abortion can in no way claim to be based on respect for the conscience of others, precisely because society has the right and the duty to protect itself against the abuses which can occur in the name of conscience and under the pretext of freedom. So, it is obvious where the Church stands on the issue of abortion and on support for abortion rights, regardless of the reasons for doing so. Simply put, abortion is always and everywhere evil, and support for it is never permitted by anyone, not just by Catholics. But for Catholics, it is relevant here to note that abortion, as well as formal cooperation in abortion, which is defined as sharing in the intention and purpose of the abortion, thus enabling it to occur, while not directly engaging in the abortion itself, are such grave attacks on the dignity of human life that the Church attaches the canonical penalty of automatic excommunication to them when these acts are committed voluntarily with knowledge of this penalty. That means the person is separated from the Church and no longer in communion with her. He is barred from the sacraments, including the Eucharist, from having an active role in the liturgy or a leadership position in the Church, and from receiving a Catholic burial. You can see that this places the person's soul at considerable risk, but this severe punishment is imposed by the Church to emphasize the gravity of abortion and in hopes that it will move the sinner to repentance and reconciliation. An excommunication can only be lifted by going to confession to the local bishop or by a priest the bishop has given authority to release someone from this penalty. This means an ordinary confession will not suffice. For the crimes of abortion or complicity in abortion, the Pope has given all priests the power to lift the excommunication and to reconcile the person with the Church. Thus, a good question to ask is this: are Catholic politicians guilty of complicity in abortion, since by their votes in favor of abortion rights and their advocacy of abortion as a fundamental right of women, they share in the intention and purpose of abortion, thus enabling it to occur while not directly engaging in the abortion itself? The thing that makes this difficult to determine is that it is unclear to what extent any particular politician's advocacy and voting has made them complicit in any particular abortion. This said, I think that we can say that such politicians are complicit in abortion to some degree, which at least would put them in danger of automatic excommunication. For example, let's say that I am a Catholic politician that supports a law called Herod's Law that states it's a parent's right to kill any child 2 years old and under. More than that, I advocate for this as a fundamental right of parents and support organizations that promote it worldwide. If parents are able to kill their 2-year-olds because of a law I support and because of my advocacy, and then do in fact kill them, am I not on some level complicit in that killing? Am I not formally cooperating in every such act of killing, even if remotely, by making such an act even possible? The same reasoning may also apply more generally to those Catholics that are pro-choice, as previously described, depending on the extent of their public advocacy. But to understand more fully whether you can be pro-choice and still be called Catholic, we need to go beyond what it means to be pro-choice and look at what it means to be Catholic or a member of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is the congregation of all those who profess the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, who partake of the same sacraments, and who are governed by their lawful pastors, the bishops and priests, under one visible head, the Pope. So how does one become a member of the Catholic Church? By being baptized in the Catholic Church or by converting to Catholicism? Now, those who are baptized Catholic or who converted to Catholicism, but who stubbornly deny or doubt whatever teachings in matters of faith and morals the Church considers to be divinely revealed and proposes as such, called articles of faith, are guilty of heresy. They are material heretics if they, objectively speaking, reject such a teaching or hold a contrary teaching. And they are formal heretics if they do so with knowledge and freedom. According to canon law, heresy carries the penalty of automatic excommunication with all the consequences that we discussed before. Additionally, those who reject the authority of the magisterium, of the Pope, and the bishops in communion with him are guilty of schism, which likewise incurs the penalty of automatic excommunication. So, some key questions to consider are, 1, is the Church's teaching on abortion the kind of teaching the rejection of which would be considered heretical and thus incur automatic excommunication? And 2, does rejection of the Church's teaching on abortion amount to a schismatic act that rejects the authority of the Pope and bishops? Before we unpack that, here's another word about our sponsor.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed with contrarian thinking. Their independent research and analysis provide a deep understanding of our investments with the intent to avoid or minimize unpleasant surprises. This helps to ensure that their funds' investments match your moral beliefs. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions solely based on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274. Or visit the link above or below in the description. We hope that you're enjoying this episode. In case you didn't know, we do a lot more than just produce podcasts here at A Ray of Hope. We have a variety of ways that we evangelize to our culture through high-quality media and events. Click on the link above or below in the description, which will direct you right to our website where you can see the many ways that we're able to help you and your church community grow deeper in our Catholic faith. Now back to the episode.
With respect to whether the Church's teaching on abortion is the kind of teaching the rejection of which would be considered heretical, or such a rejection is tantamount to a schismatic act, I have a few points I would like to make. First, the Catholic Church's teaching on abortion is infallible. What constitutes it as an infallible teaching? Some people think that the Pope is only infallible when he speaks ex cathedra, meaning from the chair, when, by clearly and explicitly invoking his authority as the successor of St. Peter and the vicar of Jesus Christ, he declares a certain doctrine to be divinely revealed and of the faith, which all Catholics are bound to believe. This is an act of his extraordinary magisterium, and has only happened twice, the doctrines of the Immaculate Conception of Mary and the Assumption of Mary. However, the Pope is also infallible in his ordinary magisterium under certain conditions, namely, when he confirms a teaching in communion with the bishops that is based on the natural law and sacred scriptures, has been transmitted by the Church's tradition, and has been consistently taught by the ordinary and universal magisterium of the Church. And it is here that the Church's teaching on abortion finds its infallible status. It was St. John Paul II that clarified this in his encyclical, Evangelium Vitae, when he wrote, "By the authority which Christ conferred upon Peter and his successors, in communion with the bishops, who on various occasions have condemned abortion, and who, albeit dispersed throughout the world, have shown unanimous agreement concerning this doctrine, I declare that direct abortion, that is, abortion willed as an end or as a means, always constitutes a grave moral disorder, since it is the deliberate killing of an innocent human being. This doctrine is based upon the natural law and upon the written word of God, is transmitted by the Church's tradition, and taught by the ordinary and universal magisterium. No circumstance, no purpose, no law whatsoever can ever make licit an act which is intrinsically illicit, since it is contrary to the law of God, which is written in every human heart, knowable by reason itself, and proclaimed by the Church." It is important to note here that while St. John Paul II is stating that the Church's teaching on abortion is infallible, he is not saying it is an article of faith or divinely revealed. It is based upon things that are divinely revealed, but as a consequence, but itself is not divinely revealed. So at first, it would seem that the rejection of this infallible teaching, while sinful and wrong, does not make a person a heretic, because technically, heresy only applies to the rejection of divinely revealed truths. However, I would like to suggest we shouldn't come too quickly to this conclusion. For example, a person would also be guilty of heresy if they denied a truth proposed by the church that, while itself is not divinely revealed, is so connected to a truth that is divinely revealed that the rejection of it would constitute an implicit rejection of the divinely revealed truth itself. Now, those who reject the church's teaching about abortion likely do so because they deny the personhood of the unborn, or at least they believe that people should be able to decide for themselves about it, which seems absurd on the face of it. However, we have articles of faith that pertain to the personhood of the unborn, namely, the Immaculate Conception, that is, the preserving of Mary from the guilt of original sin from the moment of her conception in the womb of St. Anne, and the Incarnation, that is, when the Son of God became man in the womb of Mary at the Annunciation. Would not the rejection of the personhood of the unborn be an implicit rejection of these divinely revealed truths? Thus, I propose that the rejection of the Church's infallible teaching on abortion is at the very least a position that puts a person in danger of heresy and thereby of automatic excommunication. Another key point is regarding the possibility of schism by those who reject the Church's teaching on abortion. One might think that schism is only incurred by the rejection of the authority of the Pope and bishops in communion with him flat out, meaning denying that they have such authority. However, it also pertains to those who refuse the requisite submission to them and to their teaching. In this latter case, St. John Paul II, in his apostolic letter accompanying the profession of faith and oath of fidelity to be made by those assuming an office to be exercised in the name of the Church, wrote regarding the phrase, "I also firmly accept and hold each and everything definitively proposed by the Church regarding teachings on faith and morals," that, quote, "This is of utmost importance since it refers to truths that are necessarily connected to divine revelation. These truths, in the investigation of Catholic doctrine, illustrate the divine spirit's particular inspiration for the church's deeper understanding of a truth concerning faith and morals, with which they are either connected for historical reasons or by logical relationship." In his doctrinal commentary on the apostolic letter, Cardinal Ratzinger, later Pope Benedict XVI, who was the prefect for the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith under John Paul II, wrote of this category of teachings, quote, "Such doctrines can be defined solemnly by the Roman pontiff when he speaks ex cathedra, or by the College of Bishops gathered in council, or they can be taught infallibly by the ordinary and universal magisterium of the Church as a sententia definitiva tenata. Every believer, therefore, is required to give firm and definitive assent to these truths based on faith in the Holy Spirit's assistance to the Church's magisterium and on the Catholic doctrine of the infallibility of the magisterium in these matters. Whoever denies these truths would be in the position of rejecting a truth of Catholic doctrine and would therefore no longer be in full communion with the Catholic Church." Since abortion would fall into this category of teaching, those who reject such a teaching are no longer in full communion with the Catholic Church. And it seems the rejection would be a schismatic act, because it would reject the magisterium's authority in this matter, and may also be heretical by rejecting the doctrine of the magisterium's infallibility. We've already said that the consequences of both schism and heresy is automatic excommunication. Thus, rejecting the Church's infallible teaching on abortion puts a person in danger not only of heresy, but of schism, and thereby of automatic excommunication. But are those who are excommunicated still Catholics? This seems to be the final consideration we need to make in order to determine if you can be both Catholic and pro-choice. Well, the answer is yes. Catholics that have incurred excommunication, whatever the reason, are still Catholics, technically speaking. Being a member of the Church is distinct from being in communion with other members of the Church. The reason for this is that since membership in the church is established by the reception of baptism, and baptism cannot be undone by any human act, membership in the church cannot be undone by any human act. A person who is excommunicated is still bound by the obligations inherent in the reception of baptism. He is still expected to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation, follow the church's laws on marriage, contribute to the church's material needs, and observe the required days of fasting and abstinence. However, as I mentioned before, he is forbidden from receiving any sacraments, including the Eucharist, is not allowed to take active part in the liturgy, is not allowed to have leadership positions in the church, and isn't supposed to receive a Catholic burial. I think it's fair to say, however, that the question, can you be both Catholic and pro-choice, is really asking, is it permissible for a Catholic to be pro-choice? And to this, it seems clear enough that the answer is no. Being Catholic and being pro-choice are contradictory and incompatible. While a Catholic who is pro-choice is still technically Catholic, because nothing can undo his baptism, he is in danger of heresy and of schism, and is no longer in communion with the Catholic Church. This is part of why Catholic politicians who promote abortion rights place themselves in such serious spiritual danger and shouldn't receive communion, or a Catholic burial for that matter. But I will leave that topic, perhaps, for another episode. Well, that's my take. Come back next time when we will tackle a new issue. Until then, run the race, fight the good fight, and keep the faith.